You're listening to PodTech.net. I'm Michael Johnson. On this podcast, a discussion with Forrester Research Vice President Charlene Lee. Her studies focus on consumer search, social computing, and more. In a follow-up to an earlier panel on business and its approach to social computing from a marketing perspective, I began by asking Lee about key points a business must consider before investing in social computing services like blogs, RSS, and podcasting.
The social structure that you create with your service, even though it may have some underlying fundamental technologies that are the same, for example, Flickr and Snapfish, they're both photo sharing, but in two very different contexts, using two very different structures, social structures, to create the level of participation that they wanted.
It's a whole different philosophy, too. I mean, in behind what one wants to do with that social medium as well. Yeah?
Right. And I think social networking sites are a good example. So you could be in MySpace, which is hundreds of, you know, millions of users, tens of millions of users, 50 million users, 75. We keep losing count. And then there's Multiply.com, which is a completely private social network. They serve two very different needs. One is to go out there, find friends, get exposure, become famous in the sort of MySpace world. The other one is Multiply. The whole idea is to have a private network where you only limit it to the people who you want to be in there. So two very different purposes, I think, serving two very different and very viable needs.
Now, where do you see the trend right now? Because we have Fox buying MySpace right now. We've got Google with buying YouTube. Of that sort of interesting alliance now between sort of corporate America and the social networks, where do you think that sort of nexus is going to go?
It's kind of interesting when we think of Google as corporate America, you know. But they are. They're one of the largest companies out there in terms of the valuation, $100 billion. YouTube was chump change. I mean, at $1 billion on a $100 billion valuation in terms of stock, they had the currency. Why not do it? Sounds like Yahoo when they bought people like Broadcast and GeoCities, too. So we'll see where that goes. But I think it's, again, it's a recognition from traditional companies that there is an interesting phenomenon here that has value to it. And that this is not a fly, just a fad that's going to just fade away. This is something that people are really invested in. They're spending a huge amount of time there. They're investing a key part of themselves and participating and developing relationships that they never did before. I mean, this is, I was at a session I led earlier about how to leverage social networking sites. And I asked people, how many of you here are active on MySpace? Not a single person was. And I go, well, let us take a trip into this alien territory, because it really is a completely different world that unless you are active in it, you really cannot understand it.
Well, it seems like the same thing is happening with Second Life as well, because I think that, you know, it's been an interesting phenomenon. It's been, you know, that these type of things have been around for over a decade, yet, you know, something with Second Life and the development of it made it really click with a lot of people. I think they just nearly doubled their numbers in the last 6 months. I think they're at something like a million now, something like a million. And during their community conference, not even 4 months ago, they were only at 500,000. So, you know, I guess are the companies trying to sort of look at where is that dividing line? Because it seems like, you know, traditionally they've been kind of shoot for, you know, who has the money? You know, is it the older crowd that has the money or is it the younger crowd? Is it, you know, obviously there's a line between the early adopters and the ones that are kind of, I couldn't be bothered with this. Where do they find themselves in that landscape of having to sort of market their possible product or take a stance toward the social media?
Yeah, I think Second Life, let's deal with them first. At a million users is really not a very big market at all. Granted, they're growing quickly. And, okay, let's say they double to 2 million. It's still not a huge market. Let's say they do that in the next 3 months. Let's say they get to 10 million by the end of 2007. It's still not a very big market, but it's a highly influential market. The people who go there are highly artistic. They are individual thinkers. You have to want to invest in this, and their level of investment in creating the world says that they're highly involved in that world. So if you give them brands or events that they can personally get very involved in again with that level of intensity, it means that level of intensity of involvement with your brand is also going to be very high. So I think there's a great opportunity for brands to explore it. I wouldn't be spending a huge amount of time and money on there because, frankly, would you spend money to go and develop a space in Second Life for a million people? Would you be better off going and saying, how can I reach the 50 million people on MySpace or the 35 million people on YouTube? And I think I'd rather see them spend their money on places where the audience is, where there is just so much work to be done, or even spending the money on developing their existing audiences of people who come and have interactions with them on a daily basis with social networking tools, discussion boards, blogs, RSS, lots of tools that exist out there too.
So in these worlds, in the new social media, where is the place for the, you know, the older, you know, the older generation? Because it seems like there's a sharp, or at least perceived, dividing line between those folks that have adapted that technology. I mean, I can't, you know, see, you know, influencing somebody maybe who's, you know, 60 or older to go on to my, you know, to go on to Second Life or something like this, or even MySpace, or, you know, or are they? Am I wrong?
They are using it, not nearly to the extent that the young people are. So we see a dividing line with Generation Y and Generation X. Generation X, 26 to 40-year-olds, are about half as likely as Generation Y to use it. And then it drops off significantly. People over the age of 40 just use these technologies in single digits. Just barely touch the floor. But again, how often do people have to be using them to really get used to reach critical mass? Because frankly, I don't think there's a lot of content. There isn't a lot of community to attract them in the first place. So who's writing about aging? Who's writing about menopause and addressing the needs of that community of older generation? The fact that the AARP has a blog about Social Security isn't necessarily targeted at seniors. It's targeted towards policy writers about Social Security. So it's. I think it's going to take some time, but I meet senior bloggers all the time who are writing to a very unique audience about aging, about traveling with grandkids. They're out there writing ratings and reviews. They're reading blogs. They're doing these things. It's just going to take longer for them because they're not used to adopting technologies as fast, and it'll take time for content and the communities to develop that they would be interested in. But I wouldn't write them off, not even close.
I mean, the door is open, certainly, to anyone, essentially, if the font's big enough, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there is a search engine called big.com, so that you can, like, make the size of the font of the search engines bigger and bigger. And Jeff Taylor has a new site called eons.com that is looking at aging and serving the population, the baby boomers. So, again, there's a group of people here who sort of want to be, they want to get into this space. They see it. They definitely have community. They definitely have the time on their hands, which is a key component. But I think, again, it's going to take some time for the content and the communities that they want to be a part of to take space. I mean, if you're 60 years old, do you want to be a member of MySpace, hang out with the teeny boppers? Probably not. Would I probably use it to develop, use myfamily.com to develop my social network of my family, you know, an extension of the family tree? I think that would be make a lot more sense, that the social networks that they want to belong to are the ones with their friends and families, are the people they care about. They don't necessarily want to make new friends online on MySpace. So these new services will be coming along, I think, and they'll be discovering them.
Charlene Lee is Principal Analyst at Forrester Research, specializing in social media. It's been great having you on the podcast again on PodTech, and thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you very much.